Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Brian Smoller, voice of the K-State Lady Wildcats, certainly does play-by-play for the men, filling in, and he's Mr. Multidimensional, as I say, there at Kansas State University. Brian is with me. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Wade. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Are you a Dallas Cowboy fan by chance this morning?
No.
Okay, well, then you're cool with everything, right?
Yeah, I didn't see much of the game, but heard about it later. As a Chiefs fan, season usually ends around the end of the regular season, so grow accustomed to tuning out the playoffs.
Yeah, you and I are in the same boat, unfortunately, on that one. Looked like a catch to me. I have no dog in the fight. I kind of enjoy the Cowboys losing, but at the same time, I don't know what a catch is anymore, that's for sure. Let's talk some basketball. Certainly a better week to talk to you this week than last week because we got some positive things to discuss. Let's start with the K-State women. They have the game yesterday, the Sunflower Showdown against Kansas for the second straight game. They kind of dig themselves a bit of a hole, but get out of it and get a much-needed victory in the Big 12.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on at the start of the game. Maybe they need to go out there and warm ups and pretend that it's the first half. That way they're ready to go, thinking it's the second half when the game tips off. But as you said, two straight games, the Wildcats get the first basket and then fall behind by a significant margin. Unfortunately, yesterday's game, it wasn't quite as steep a climb to get back out of the hole as it was against Baylor. Down 23-3, 26-3 to Baylor in the early going. This game was 16-2, so down 14, able to get back into it a little bit, but by half down 7, and then eventually overcame the Jayhawks in the second half. But it's still a team that at times can get a little too amped up, I think is what Jiffy outlined it as, in the sense that they get too spun up and maybe too caught up in the emotions and trying to do everything perfect at the same time and make the perfect pass and, you know, maybe overcommit defensively in the zone. And when they settle down and just play basketball the way that they've been taught with high energy and intensity but play smart, then they're very effective. And we saw that in the second half and really clamped down on KU, held them to 17 second-half points and eventually warmed down and got the win.
You know, seeing K-State play last year, certainly a lot of young ladies playing the game, and Bree Lewis is one that stands out because you could see potential there, no doubt, but kind of a raw project that's only going to get better, and you can see that she's improved from the beginning of last year to the end of last year, and she's improved going into this year. And no matter what, though, with her size, she's always a defensive force, and she had a record 8 blocks yesterday.
Yeah, she did. Single game record. That breaks a record that had been set a couple of times, 7, by most recently Marty Skibson, Adam McPherson, and then Olga Frisova before her. It was a remarkable game for Bree in that I think for the most part, outside of the record, she didn't play very well. Had a number of close shots that she missed, ended up 2-for-10 from the field, had 8 points, but you felt like she left at least 5 shots out there, so maybe 10 more points out there. And I know she was frustrated after the game, and that's just part of the, as you said, part of the process with her as a sophomore. They're asking her to do a lot of different things than she had to do a year ago, and that's be more physical and post up quite a bit, not be away from the basket and set screens and all that sort of stuff, and utilize pick and roll where her athleticism could come into play. They're really trying to teach her how to be physical and be down in the post and bang and get position and get deep on people and score. And that's a process. It really wasn't taught at all to her a year ago, or she didn't really want to do it, didn't have the frame to do it. And now with about 25 pounds on her from last year to this year, she's been asked to do that. And has done, for the most part, as you said, a great job. I think it's just there are games, just like any time you're learning, you're going to have setbacks, and you just got to try and make it 3 steps forward and 1 step back rather than, same and not getting any better, one for one.
And she's just a sophomore, as you mentioned. And then Asha Woods, of course, Kansas kid, Wichita Collegiate. She maybe has been the most consistent player on this team this year. She certainly is good at stealing the basketball, one of the league leaders in that category. And it seems like every time I check on the K-State Lady Wildcats, she's had another solid game.
Yeah, she really has. I'd say her and Shaylin Martin have probably been the most consistent of everyone out. Now you say that, and Asha did not have a very good game against Baylor. She dropped 21 on the road at Iowa State, then comes back and did not score at all against Baylor and was really not effective at all into foul trouble, but then bounced back and had a really good game against KU and did a good job of really sparking K-State once Haley Tejada got injured and left the game. Now, Haley and Asha are very close and roommates often, especially on the road, and both of the only two seniors that play, and they've been through the wars together, so to speak. So seeing her good friend go down like that and have to be carted off, I think it really inspired Asha. And from that point forward, she was just all over the court, both ends, making an impact, and really was an integral part of why K-State won the game.
How is Tejada?
Haven't heard anything today. Did hear something last night. You know, she was, and having watched the replay a few times, you know, kind of got caught the right way, almost like a football player when you lower your helmet and you hit somebody dead on and you kind of get that jolt that goes down your spine. It was just a freak play on a collision, and that happened to Haley and lost consciousness for a minute as she hit the ground. And so anytime that happens and you're complaining of neck pain, they're going to take extra precautions and put on the brace and put you on and go take a CT and all that stuff. Haven't heard anything, which is usually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if it was something serious, you would have heard it by now. But thoughts and prayers with her. At this point, it seems like it was just a precaution to go and double-check that nothing was serious.
Yeah, Brian Smoller of Kansas State University with us to talk some Wildcat sports this morning on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. So K-State women, next action, they'll hit the road. You'll get to go to Stillwater. Man, you should know how to get to Stillwater, right? Twice in a short period of time?
Yeah, know all the secret spots, that's for sure.
K-State women, Oklahoma State coming up on Wednesday. Let's turn our attention to the men. Wow, it's been one of those roller coaster seasons for the K-State men. Of course, we know all about the horrible loss of Texas Southern at home, and then a lackluster first half against Georgia, rallied, and then ended up losing. And they really needed a jolt of energy, just something to get them really going. They got that win against TCU. It wasn't super impressive, but it still was a W, broke the losing streak. And then they get the big win at Norman over the weekend. How big of a win is that for Kansas State, and could that be one of those that could save the season?
Well, yeah, well, I don't know. It's one of those where it was unexpected, no doubt. And only because, not because K-State doesn't have the talent to do it, it was more about the other team. Oklahoma had been red hot, and I have, as many K-State fans do, have the utmost respect for Lon Kruger and Steve Henson and that entire staff, which is largely comprised of people from K-State who are here and coached, you know, Mitch Richmond and those guys back in the late 80s or played here at K-State. And they have been rolling and playing very, very well. They've got a star in Buddy Heald and how hard he works and how hard he plays both ends of the court. They just had all the pieces, and it seemed like, and they had not only won at home every game this year, but had blown out everybody at home. I mean, it hadn't even been close. So for K-State to come in and play as well as they did, especially offensively early, and they really did a great job on the glass, of making Oklahoma a lot of times one and done. They really gave up very few offensive rebounds to Oklahoma. The longer they hung around, the more you felt the pressure building on Oklahoma. They were missing shots, not hitting free throws, some uncharacteristic things, and it played out for K-State the right way. As to it saves their season, I don't know. It's different this year in the Big 12. It's so competitive, and it's hard to take any barometer at any time and make a definitive statement of, okay, from here forward, from this point forward,
yeah,
this team will not lose, or this team will beat that team because they did this. It's just so competitive. I think you're going to see a lot of games like this where you're going to see teams one week get hot and they're going to beat some people, and then they're going to fall back and they're going to lose to some people that they shouldn't have, or play poorly and barely win. So I still think TCU is a very good team and will find a way to win at some point against somebody that they shouldn't. I think the biggest thing that you get out of the Oklahoma game is, one, Marcus Foster still back being confident shooting the basketball, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, K-State defended and they played defense and rebounding the way that Bruce Weber wants them to play. The reason why they've won as many games as they've had through the first 2 years of his tenure more than any other K-State coach.
Yeah, and Stephen Hurt came up big for him in that game against Oklahoma, 15 points, I believe, and 8 rebounds. Did a nice job in 23 minutes. So a big win for the Cats, no doubt. And you were talking about the Big 12 and how unpredictable it is. I mean, Oklahoma goes into Texas and rolls Texas, and they were red hot, as you mentioned. But then also, you look, we've played pretty much everybody in the conference has played 3 conference games. KU's played 2. They got a third tomorrow against Oklahoma State. And the only undefeated teams after 2 or 3 games in conference is Iowa State and Kansas. I mean, it's just one of those years where, like you said, if you're not ready to play, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, the only exception to that rule, of course, has been KU, only because of what they've done. And until somebody beats them, you kind of keep the same thing. They're the champ and have proven it over and over and over again. So you just have to see if they're going to stub their toe or if they have a weakness yet. I'm not sure if they do or will. We'll see. I will tell you that Oklahoma State, having seen them now again in person, was a way better basketball team than I thought. Mm-hmm. You knew going in that they were competitive and had played well against teams like Maryland, who's ranked near the top 10. But, you know, everyone was talking about, like you said, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, KU, and Baylor as the teams to beat in the league. No one talked about Oklahoma State. And seeing them up personal and in person, Phil Forte is a much improved player. Michael Collins being back has helped them. And then Aaron Hickey, transfer from LSU, a three-year starter at point guard. This is where that fifth-year transfer, what has become the norm in college basketball now, unfortunately, a lot of transfers. And he comes in with experience at a high-level Power 5 conference, and he has made a huge difference for them of calming them down and playing like a true point guard rather than the mercurial Marcus Smart. And I don't know if they'll beat KU, but they're way better than people think Oklahoma State is, and they'll give some people some trouble in the years to come. K-State, you know, I think because of how they've played so far through their three games, can find a way to get to 500 in league play and be better than that. Mm-hmm. I truly believe it. Now, whether or not that gets them in the NIT or even in the NCAA tournament remains to be seen. But they got some work to do, but you feel better now, certainly, and looking across the landscape of the Big 12, that they've been more competitive in games against teams that are pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. Brian Smolder with us, talk K-State sports this morning on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Turn attention to football briefly. Bill Snyder, elected to the College Football Hall of Fame, obviously well-deserved. He's now 75 years of age, so I guess there's one positive of getting older. You now are eligible to be selected at a College Football Hall of Fame. Just kind of in summary, I guess, is what does that mean for Kansas State University? I mean, you get a national recognition like that. It's great for Bill Snyder, obviously. He deserves it. But it also, he has put Kansas State on the map. And so when you see a guy, anybody, a player or a coach, being inducted to a Hall of Fame, that means a lot for the university too, right?
Oh, certainly. And if in some respects you feel an immense amount of pride, you also feel an immense amount of gratitude towards Coach Snyder. If anything, I think it only confirms what we already knew, which was that he is one of, if not the greatest college football coach of all time. And it's you feel almost when he gets put in the Hall of Fame, you're like, well, of course he should be in the Hall of Fame as a K-State fan, but you also feel like everybody else now is getting to learn again about the story and the secret to success here and his 16 goals and how much success he's had off the field as well and in mentoring and then also in what I'm watching right now, which is the construction of the new Vanier football complex and the campus infrastructure and the infrastructure of Manhattan as a whole. Anybody that's been to the Little Apple this year for a K-State game, I'm sure has seen how the transformation of this town over the city over the last 4 to 5 years, even since he's come back a second time. It's almost a completely new place with vibrant restaurants and shopping districts and just the way it is. And a lot of that is due to football success, which in turn leads to pride for the community. And all that goes back to Coach Snyder. And I think he handles it with an immense amount of humility and grace for someone that has that much responsibility or that much impact on his shoulders. And I'll tell you this, at 75, I know he answered the question at the press conference about him coming back for 2015. And in some respects, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, that makes it sound like he's year to year, which is not the case. I wish I had as much energy as Coach Snyder does when I'm 75. I mean, he is still very much a big part of the day-to-day routine. He may not stay near as late or get here as early as he has in years past, but believe me, the mind is still very, very sharp. He has got a great support system in place here, and the kids love him. As long as he's running the show, I don't see him stepping aside anytime soon unless there's some sort of health concern. And, you know, knock on wood, hopefully that's not the case from the near future.
Yeah, well-deserved honor going into the College Football Hall of Fame. All right, championship game tonight. Who you got, Oregon or Ohio State?
Well, as a Wildcat and seeing what Oregon did to the K-State team here just a couple years ago, it'd be hard to go against Oregon. They're just so impressed with Marcus Mariota and was a few years ago, even when he was a freshman. But how could you not admire what's happened with Ohio State. What baffles me in watching Ohio State is how Jones is their third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
How that guy, that size and that arm and that ability, is the number 30 quarterback at Ohio State. Either they knew something that nobody else knew and how to recruit quarterbacks, or some of it is just kind of timing and luck that it fell in that this guy is able to succeed this well in a short amount of time. I mean, don't you agree? If you watch that guy play, you're thinking to yourself, how is this guy third string? I know Braxton Miller's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the other guy that got hurt was pretty good, but JT
Barrett, and he was a Heisman Trophy candidate, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
But how can this guy would be starting for every team in America right now?
And
he reminds me of a little bit more mobile Josh Freeman. Big, tough, big guy that can really have a rocket for an arm. And I don't know. I think Oregon wins, but Ohio State clearly has shown that they are better than people gave him credit for.
I'm just trying to think there that he was probably a scout team quarterback. I mean, that would make that defense a lot better, wouldn't it? I mean, and we saw Ohio State play pretty good against Alabama, you know?
It's stunning to me that this guy, that he was buried that far down on the depth chart for so long. And you don't know the ins and outs, the particulars of his time at Ohio State, whether he was a good student, maybe that held him back, or, you know, discipline, whatever. You don't know any of that stuff. You would assume it was not a problem. But just remarkable story in that regard. And it's just fun to be able to have the game, although it does feel weird that it's this late, that we've waited this long. It's just it'll take some getting used to wait for a week after those other big bowl games to have yet another college football game.
It's an embarrassment of riches, that's for sure. They're Ohio State, and I've been hearing that Ohio State's going to be, actually, the year we were shooting for was next year. That was the year, next year. They said,
right,
it's going to be even better next year, and that's
scary. Well, I guarantee you that they'll be ranked in the top five.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think they locked that down, probably. I think Ohio State's going to win, even though I don't want them to. I'm going to cheer for Oregon, but without a couple of their top receivers, the one that's failed the drug test, not a good timing for that, and the other one that's hurt, I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to jump on Oregon's bandwagon, and rightfully so. I'm impressed by them, don't get me wrong, and they're favored, but I don't know. There's something about Ohio State that just tells me that they're going to find a way to get it done tonight.
Possibly, although one thing I've learned about watching Oregon is that they are incredibly deep.
Mm-hmm.
They are like Baylor in that it doesn't, you know, wide receivers, they have a glutton of them. And the other part is they have a pretty special kid at quarterback that makes a lot of good decisions
and doesn't
turn the ball over.
Yep.
And if there is a knock on Jones, Cordell Jones for Ohio State, is that he does have a tendency from time to time to make a bad decision. I mean, you only expect that from a guy that hasn't played much. So he hasn't made a whole lot of them, but if I'm taking the bet on who's going to make a turnover at quarterback, I'm betting on Jones rather than Mariota. And at the end of the day, turnovers usually decide games like that. So I'll stick with Oregon. They've been so impressive and so physical. It's a tough team to try and slow down.
You will probably be right on that one. Good analysis, Brian. Well done. You've done your research. I haven't. I sit there and I can go back and forth and make a good argument each way. But I'm with you. I Mariota, one thing I will say about Mariota, it's nice that somebody won the Heisman Trophy with character. Because the last guy, two guys that won the Heisman, that character doesn't seem to mean anything. And Mariota, from everything that we hear and read, is a class act. He's a good character. Everybody loves him. He's a leader. He's just one of the guys. He's not just the star quarterback. And that's another reason why I'm cheering for Oregon to win tonight.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, a lot of that goes back to the Colin Klein deal, which I know that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, at the end of the day, you also have to have the numbers. And he's got the numbers to back it up. So, in the case of Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston, they had numbers that were deemed so impressive for the circumstance. Manziel's case as a freshman in the SEC, Winston with an undefeated Florida State team. Those overrode, or, you know, perhaps overtook the idea of the stuff. And I'm not sure Mariota won because he's a good citizen. I think he won because of the numbers. At the end of the day, as much as we love to make it all about that, the class and integrity and all that, which is, I agree, should be weighed more heavily.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, people look at the stat sheet and often vote with that.
No, I agree with you. All right, finally, our off-the-wall question. You sport a really nice beard, Brian. I want to know who has the best beard in sports, besides yourself, of course.
Best beard in sports. Well, it's certainly not Andrew Luck. He's just getting hammered.
Oh, that is a nasty looking thing he's got on his chest. Yeah, I agree.
He's not keeping it too tight.
No.
You know, hey, listen, Dan Fouts. And in fact, when I first started to do some TV stuff with my beard, and I got a little bit of flack from some buddies, and one of the producers early on said, "Well, you're going to have to shave that." And I said, "Wait a minute, Dan Fouts does games and has for decades with a beard. Well, what's the problem?" And at that, they were like, "Yeah, you're right." So I'll say Dan Fouts as an inspiration.
Wow, he basically Dan Fouts without you ever having you've never met the guy, but Dan Fouts
never
helped you probably have your beard.
Yeah, exactly right. He did.
Wow.
He helped convince the producer that it was all right to do it, and probably a little bit of the Duck Dynasty guys, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I figured you'd probably get a few comments about that every once in a while, too.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't quite have the length that those guys do. If I didn't clip it, it probably would be, but...
your wife probably wants...
I don't want to risk an Andrew Luck situation.
Yes, your wife probably would like you to keep that beard and tight and trimmed, right? Yeah.
That's right.
I would imagine. Hey, man, thanks for your time, as always. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again later on this season.
Always a pleasure, Wade. Thanks for pinch hitting for us for a few times. You do great work up there. We'll talk to you on the road.
Thanks, man. Brian Smoller joins us on the Sports Ticket today.